Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm excited about today's message. We were talked about, you know, in order to move forward to 2026, we need to look back and remember what the Lord has done. Check out this video.
Well, good morning, Church Unlimited. How's everyone doing this morning? Well, hey, if I didn't get a chance to meet you, my name is Dupree, and I want to give a shout out to all of our campuses that are watching right here, right now, Rodfield, Stone Oak, Padre, Rockport, and all of our other campuses. But I want to give a special shout out for those who are watching online and give a special shout out to our prison ministry. Come on, Church Unlimited. Well, like I said, if I didn't get a chance to meet you, my name is Dupree, and I'm the middle school pastor here at Church Unlimited. You know, I've been on staff here about a year, and me and my wife, we're from San Antonio, Texas. Shout out to our Stone Oak location, 210 Countdown City, San Antonio. But me and my wife, we lived in New York for about 4 years, and we lived there, and we learned a lot in New York. We learned about the East Coast accent and, you know, how they pronounce coffee, and they say it like this. They say coffee instead of coffee, or they will say, instead of tournament, they will say tournament, like it's tournament, not tournament. It's coffee, not coffee, all right? Get it right. If you're from the East Coast, we love you here at Church Unlimited. We're so grateful for you. Well, hey, we are so excited. You know, me and my wife, we moved back here in Texas, and man, we've been on staff here about a year, and it's been an incredible journey because we have incredible leaders. We have anointed leaders. We have gifted leaders. Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica are some of the best pastors in the world. And so, Church Unlimited, I just want to give honor, because the Bible says that we should honor our leaders and those who are in authority. Can we just give honor real quick from all of our locations to our lead pastors, Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica? Hey, come on, can we give it up for Jesus in the house of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Well, I'm excited for this morning because I know a lot of us in this room, we're looking forward to 2026. We have our fitness goals lined up. We got our business goals lined up, our life goals lined up. But in order for us to move forward to 2026, we need to reflect back and to look back and remember what the Lord has done. You know, this morning I want to take you to my favorite book. It's the book of Joshua. And so if you have your Bibles out, I want you to pull out your Bibles. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But I want to give you some context here. Here is Joshua. Joshua is leading the Israelites to the promised land. And Joshua is the new leader. You know, Moses has passed, Moses is gone, and Joshua is now leading the Israelites to the promised land that was planted from the seed of Abraham. And so Joshua is leading them, but they come up on an issue. They come up on a roadblock. And the problem was, it was that the Jordan River was overflowing with water. It was flooded. And so it wasn't deep, it wasn't crazy or anything like that. It was just moving quickly. And so if that was me in the Bible, man, I would need the floaties, I would need the life jacket and the kiddie floaties, you know what I'm talking about. And here's Joshua, he tells them, really God tells them, hey, I want you to tell the Levitical priests to take the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes God's presence, and as you step foot, the waters will be cut off, the waters will be blocked off. And so the Levitical priests obeyed God and obeyed Joshua, and they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they step foot in the water, and guess what? The waters stop flowing. What a miracle story that happened in the book of Joshua. So this morning, I want to take you to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says this, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose, everyone shout 12. One from each tribe, tell them, we're going to say this one more time, take 12, everyone shout 12. Stones from the place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out, pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. When you look back, can you remember what the Lord has done? I love the church. I grew up in the church. I'm a church boy at heart. I'm a professional chair stacker in the church. I love the church. I love this house. I love our church. I love our lead pastors. I love the church. And so I grew up in this small Pentecostal church And if you know anything about the Pentecostal church, they got the tambourines out. You know, you got people shouting. You got Pentecostals in here, I guess. You got people shouting, people jumping up and down, people doing the Jericho march in the church. I grew up in the Pentecostal church. I love the church. And I remember as a boy, we did this one thing in this particular church. It was called Testimonial Sunday. If you don't know, I'm about to put you on game. Testimonial Sunday was an opportunity for people to share their story and to share their testimony. And so you will have Sister Monique. And Sister Monique will get up and she will share the word of the Lord. And then you'll have Brother Eli. And Brother Eli will get up and he will preach like this. And he will talk like this. And he will share his story. What God was doing in and through his life. And I remember my dad had an opportunity to share what God was doing in our lives. I don't remember everything what my dad shared. But what I do remember, that my dad communicated with so much confidence, with so much faith, and with so much hope in the Lord. And the reason why, when I'm looking back at this, I'm saying, man, why did my dad share that and communicate that with so much power? It's because it was his story. It's because it was his testimony. And the truth is that everybody in this room, you have a great testimony. And the reason why you have a great testimony is because you went through a great test. You, sir, over here. You have a great testimony. Man right here in the front, you have a great testimony. Young people in here in this room, middle school, high school, you have a great testimony. Those who are watching online, you have a great testimony. The reason why you have a great testimony is because you went through a great test. Maybe for you, your marriage was on the brink of divorce. The papers were ready to go. But you got surrounded in a life group. You started serving here. You got surrounded by godly men and women of God. And those divorce papers went out the window. You went through a great test, and now you have a great testimony. Maybe for you, 2025 was trying to take you out with all the setbacks and with all the letdowns. Let me say this. It wasn't really setbacks. It was really God setting you up because God has a purpose and plan for your life. You have a great testimony. Maybe for you, you were out there in the club, wilding out and doing crazy things. And guess what? God got a hold of you. God changed your life. God redeemed your life. You in this room, you have a great testimony. And the reason why you have a great testimony is because you went through a great test. And maybe for you in this room, you say, man, Pastor Priya, I don't have a great story. I don't have a great testimony. Can I remind you in this room, what Jesus did for you on Calvary, what Jesus did for you on the cross, is your greatest testimony in this room. Because the scripture says in the book of Revelation, let this get in your spirit. Let this be a revelation for you this morning. Look at this. They have defeated him, watch this, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what?
Testimony.
By what?
Testimony.
Our testimony has the power to reach unbelievers. Our testimony has the power to reach people. Our testimony also reminds us what the Lord has done in and through our lives. A question for you in this room is, what is your testimony? What is your story? If you look back 12 years ago, can you remember what the Lord has done? If you look back the last 12 months, can you remember what the Lord has done? What about 12 weeks ago? What about 12 days ago? What about 12 minutes ago? Maybe for you in this room, you and your spouse, you were bickering at each other, you were arguing on the way to church. But 12 minutes ago, instead of being separated with your spouse, you're holding hands with your spouse. Maybe for you in this room, your kids were driving you crazy for the last time, and you're going insane, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know what? And you wanted to pull the belt out and say, Jesus loves you, and you just... But you did it. Instead of yelling at your kids, you're worshiping with your kids here in this worship center 12 minutes ago. Can you remember what the Lord has done? Because in order for us to look back and to move forward, we need to look back and remember what the Lord has done in and through our lives. Because throughout the Bible, we see that God tells the Israelites to to remember, to look back, to reflect back. The Israelites will worship God, honor God, and a few chapters later, they will dishonor God by start worshiping other gods. Because the truth is that we are forgetful people. I am a forgetful person. I need to be reminded on a daily basis. It's like my wife telling me, I'm like, babe, where's the milk? And she's like, babe, just move the thing to the left and move the thing to the right, and the milk is right there. Come on, how many men are you feeling convicted right now? You're just... This is a true story. My wife, she was looking for something, you know, Christmas, and we were celebrating stuff. She was looking for something. It was in the attic, and she couldn't find it. She's like, babe, I couldn't find this one thing. Where's it at? I'm like, Superman, here we go. I went up that attic, y'all, and I found the one thing, and I felt good about it. I got me some brownie points. Come on, somebody. I felt good. Take that, wife. I love you. We're forgetful people. We need to be reminded what God has done in and through our lives. Can I remind you from all of our location that we serve the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore? We serve the same God who got the Israelites through the Red Sea and got them through the Jordan River. Come on, somebody. We serve the same God. And so here is Joshua. Everyone shout 12. Say 12. He tells the 12 tribes of Israel to set up these 12 stones. And what is interesting to me is the weight of the stones. Some scholars believe that these stones were 60 to about 100 pounds. We have a picture of those stones, and I want to show you that picture. But these stones were roughly 60 to 100 pounds. So these were not small stones or light stones. These were heavy stones. But what's interesting to me is not the weight of the stone. It's the number of stones. God tells the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel, to set up 12 stones. Why 12? Three is a good number. Why not three? Seven is a good number. Why not seven? God speaks through numbers and it's a symbolized something. So the number 12 has meaning and purpose behind it. Let me give you some examples. You have the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the 12 disciples. Jacob had 12 children. You have the 12 spies that went to go check out the promised land the first time. You have 12 days of Christmas and an enemy. Come on, put me on the worship team, y'all. And then you have the greatest quarterback of all time, number 12, Tom Brady. Rockport, I know how you're feeling right now. You're like, I don't like this preacher at all. Where's Pastor Bill? Everyone shout 12. The Israelites set up these stones, these 12 stones, and I want you to catch this morning. The 12 stones symbolizes, look at this, catch this, God's power and his authority. The number 12 symbolizes God's power and his authority. When you look back and when you reflect back on your life, I'm not saying everything is going to be perfect, everything is going to be good, but when you look back at your life, you can see God's power and his authority in your life. How God gave you peace that surpasses all understanding. How God gave you grace in that season that you were in. How God gave you favor. How God blessed you. When you look back at your life, you can see God's power and his authority in your life. In biblical context, the memorials, these 12 stones were memorials. And in biblical context, the memorials were set up as a tangible reminder of events, divine acts, promises. People will set up memorials in the Bible, and when people walk past these memorials, they would say, man, God moved here, or God spoke here, or God showed up here. The memorial was a tangible reminder for us to remember God's deeds and his instructions preserved across generation. So when Joshua gave his leaders the why behind the what to set up these 12 stones, he says this, Joshua 4, verse 19, verses 21 to 23. The Bible says this. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first of the month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children would ask, what do these stones mean? Then you could tell them, this is where the Israelites cross the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. Look at this. He kept it dry until you were all crossed over. Keep this in mind. This is not like 100 people. This is not like 500 people. This is 2 million people were crossing over to the Jordan River, through the Jordan River. And I love this little insert here in Joshua. He said, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we all crossed over. I want you to focus on this one part. In the future, your children would ask, what do these stones mean? I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Your testimony, your memorial, is not just for you, it's for the next generation. Your story, your testimony, is not just for you, it's for the next generation. Parents, if I could just speak to you in this room, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a dad, I have two beautiful children, and I get it. It's easy at times to give them the iPad or the iPhone and put it on the television. But what I learned, this principle years ago, whatever informs a generation will form a generation. And culture is trying to indoctrinate our kids and our children. They are trying to feed them something. It's called social media. It's called the feed. It's called the feed page. It's trying to feed our kids something. And as parents, as believers, we are called to be the priests, the spiritual leaders, and to give them the bread of life, to give them the living water of Jesus. And what God is doing in our youth ministry, it's been incredible. We're starting Bible clubs in our youth ministry, where God is moving in our youth ministry. We're giving our students the word of God. Parents, I know there's some parents in this room who are feeding their students the word of God. Come on, do we have any parents in this room? They say, I don't care what culture says. I'm going to give my students, my kids, the word of God. Your memorial is not just for you, it's for the next generation. The Bible says this, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're on the road and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hands. Wear them as your forehead, as a headband, as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I sense that in culture today, it's actually flipped. We're on our phone again, again, and again. Can we get back to the basics, parents, and just flip that and say, you know what, at the dinner table, we're going to pray. We're going to pray before bed. I'm going to share my story. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to share my memorial, because my memorial is not just for me. It's for the next generation. I don't want to preach this morning, but I want to share with you two stones, two memorials that are so important in my life. The first stone that I want to share with you is my family. I am so grateful for my family, even the in-laws on Christmas Day. I'm grateful for my family. Come on, we just had Christmas. We celebrated Christmas with our family and our friends. I'm grateful. We got a picture of my beautiful family. Come on, throw that up there. Look at this, y'all. That's my family. I'm grateful for my white chocolate queen, y'all. I'm grateful for my daughter. I'm grateful for my son. I'm grateful. But can I say this? I'm grateful for this house, for this ministry, for this church, for our lead pastors. I'm grateful for my church family. Come on, someone shout, say, I'm grateful. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the times that I had with my family. Grandparents in this room, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. My grandparents instilled faith in me. My grandpa
taught me about giving and generosity. Every time I showed up to his house, I didn't get a toy. I got some boxers for Christmas. And he would give me a dollar every time. I'm grateful for the gift of generosity that my grandparents instilled in me. I'm grateful for my parents, and this is a true story. My parents will call me and my brother into their room. And, you know, as a parent, when you get your name called, it's like that type of like, hey, like, come in my room. And so my parents call me and my brother, like, Desmond Dupree, come in my room. We're like, oh, my goodness, we are in trouble. We get into the room. I'm thinking, man, we're in trouble. I'm about to get a spanking. And my mom and dad pull out a big old jar of anointing oil. They were ready to cast out something out of me and my brother. I was scared. And I remember as a young boy, my mom anointing me with oil, anointing my hands, anointing my ears, anointing my feet. And I used to think, Mom, you're crazy. I just want to play the PlayStation. I just want to play Madden. And guess what? I'm the crazy dad who's anointing their kids with oil. And it's at a random time. It's like 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, Lord Jesus, cover our kids. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my church. In order for us to move forward to 2026, we need to reflect back and remember what the Lord has done. My first stone is my family. The second stone that I want to share with you is called the wreck stone. The stone's not a glamorous stone. The stone's not a pretty stone. Some of us, you could relate that you look back at your life and look back 12 years ago, 12 weeks ago, maybe your life was a wreck. I remember I was playing at Eastern New Mexico University. I was playing college football. We have a picture of me when I was at this particular school at Eastern New Mexico University. Why are y'all laughing? Can you remember what the Lord has done? Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for this upgrade right here. This was a fixer-upper with the beard and everything. Thank you, Jesus. I was playing at Eastern New Mexico University. I was a linebacker, all-state, all-city in San Antonio, Texas. And I had an opportunity to play at this university. I had multiple offers to play Division I. But I remember at this time, me and my friends, we were on our way to a Jesus party. They were like, what, they got a Jesus party in college? What? Me and my friends, we were on our way to a party. And my friend at the time was playing at Texas Tech University, was an All-American, got drafted second round by the New York Jets, and we were on our way to go celebrate with him and go to this Jesus party. On our way there, there's really two ways to get to Lubbock, Texas. And the main way, when we pulled up, it was a detour sign. It was a blockage. It was a detour sign. And in that moment, I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit telling me not to go to this party. Have you ever been there before that you felt something tugging on your heart not to say that, not to go there, not to do that? Pastor Bill talked about this a couple weeks ago, about listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit when he convicts you. Amen. I remember that was a detour sign, and I just brushed it off. I was sensing the Holy Spirit, and me and my friends, we took the long route, took the long way to Lubbock, Texas. And I remember I was in the back passenger seat, not wearing my seatbelt. And I remember the roads were real slick. It was misty. It was foggy. It was dark. It was something that you would see out of a horror film or a scary movie. And I remember my friend was texting and driving. And the car just went off road, just a little bit. And my friend jerked the wheel. And the car went skirt, and the car flipped 9 times. And I was ejected out the car. In that moment, everything, my football career ended, playing college football ended. It was that moment. I wake up in a cop car and I went to the ambulance where they wanted to go check me out. And I remember I had an opportunity to talk to my parents. Come to find out that my parents at that particular night, at 12 o'clock at night, were actually up praying for me and my brother, pleading the blood of Jesus over us. When I look back, I thought my mom was crazy, but when I look back, I'm so grateful that she covered us with anointing oil, with prayers. So grateful. The crazy part about this story is that I had a couple friends in that car. Everybody survived that car crash by the grace of God. I'm still standing here today, number one, by God's grace and his mercy, but number two, by my parents' prayers. So grateful for that. But the crazy part about this story, I get in that car accident, I move back, and then my wife at the time, Lindsay, I'm speaking prophetically, she wasn't my wife at the time, she gets in a bad car accident at San Angelo State University. She moves back, and next thing you know, 6 months later, a year later, we started talking. We got engaged. Now we've been married for 10 years. We're two beautiful children. And maybe for you in this room, you say, man, Pastor Dupree, I went through a wreck. I went through some hardships. I went through some difficulty in 2025. I went through some things 12 weeks ago, 12 years ago. Can I remind you? Yeah, you might went through some things, but we serve a God that can redeem it all. We serve a God that's here for you in the storm, who's here for you in the fire. The crazy part about the story is that people ask me all the time. They're like, Dupree, what? Why do you have scars on your face? What happened? Why do you have scratches and scars on your face? And now I use these scars as a doorway, as a gateway to preach the gospel, to tell people about my story, how God saved me from the car crash. Not only he saved me, but how God saved me from the pit of hell, how God changed my life, how God washed me in the blood. Come on, I'm grateful for Jesus. Come on. I'm grateful. And these memorials in my life, I get to share with you all today. But I get to share with my kids. And maybe for you in this room, I have some physical scars. Maybe someone in this room, you also have some physical scars. Maybe you went through abuse. Maybe someone did some stuff to you as a young child. I don't know what it is, but you went through some things. Maybe for you, you have physical scars, but maybe for you, you have some mental scars. No one knows about it. The depression, the things that you're going through in your mind. Maybe for you, you have some spiritual scars. Maybe you've been backstabbed in 2025. Maybe someone did something to you, cheated on you. I don't know what it is. I just want to remind you in this room that God is with you. The same God that was with Joshua, the same God that was with Moses is with you today. I want you to catch this. This is my last point. The same God that was with you this year is the same God that's near you in the next year. The same God that's with you this year is the same God that's near you in the next year. Hold on to that truth, that God is with you, that God is fighting your battles for you. He's in the fire with you. And maybe for you in this room, your first stone, your first memorial is giving your life to Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Maybe you say, man, I want to get my life right before giving my life to Jesus. Don't wait. Today, God wants to save you. God wants to redeem you. God wants to cleanse you. With every head bowed and eyes closed from all of our locations. Maybe for you, you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus. It's very interesting to me that the name Joshua simply means Yahweh saves. Joshua is a typology of Christ. He's a picture of Jesus. How Joshua got the Israelites through the promised land. Jesus would do the same thing for us in the New Testament, that he will get us to the promised land, called eternal life. And maybe for you, you've been separated from God. You've been far from God. Today, God wants to save you. God wants to redeem you. God made a way for you. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the light. No one can get to the Father except through him. So we're going to say this prayer together as a church family from all of our locations. Let's say this together. So dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. I believe in you. I put my trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Come be my Lord. Be my Savior. I believe in you, that you died, and that you rose. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and eyes closed in this moment, Mr. Pastor Preet, I literally just gave my life to Christ. We want to celebrate with you. But on the count of three, I'm asking you to slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that was you this morning, you say, I gave my life to Jesus. Come on, praise God for that. Come on, multiple hands going up. Come on, lift your hand high. Come on, this is a proud moment. This is your memorial. This is your first stone. Come on, Rockport, Rockville, we see you. Come on, those who are watching online, put it in the chat, say, hand raised. We're so proud of you. Best decision of your life. Best decision this year in 2026. We're grateful for you. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and put your hands down now. I want to say a special prayer, a blessing over you as you move forward to 2026. But reflect back what the Lord has done. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that we're looking back. We are remembering what you have done in and through our lives. Today, God, we're setting up memorials in our hearts, in our lives. God, we're grateful for you. God, we love you. And God, I send a blessing out to everyone in this room and those who are watching online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can you give Jesus a big shout of praise? Come on, all of our locations, give Jesus a big shout of praise.